Continue our series on practical Christian living. Tonight, dealing with a very practical subject. I was kidding someone that our speaker tonight was so excited about this subject, Christianity and social media, that he texted me this morning at 4:30 as to what time services are tonight. It was actually 6:30, but anyway, we're so glad that Ben Hayes is here. Ben is a wonderful fella. He is the Ben of Ben and Travis youth duo that everybody knows about at CYC and also Maywood Christian Camp. He has one of the sharpest minds. He, at Maywood, he will do the fun sing and other sing songs, and he remembers every word. And I wish I was had that ability, but I've got a few miles on me, so I just sing the chorus anyway. But we just have a wonderful time with him. Married a wonderful lady from the North Carolina congregation, Kenya, and they are expecting their fifth child, about to have a basketball team. It'll be two boys and three girls. Kenya is an excellent softball shortstop, but on top of that, she's even far more a wonderful Christian lady. And so we need to pray that birth will go well. He's an accomplished musician. Young people, you need to hear him play Freebird. He can do it on the guitar, and he does a very wonderful job. He is a great minister. He is a licensed counselor, helping all kinds of people, both children as well as adults. And he is the accomplished minister of the North Highlands congregation. And tonight he talks about Christianity and social media. Ben, you are among friends.
Thank you. I think you maybe went over the top on a few things. I am not an accomplished musician. I can play guitar a little bit, but and there's probably several other things in there that got blown out of proportion. But I appreciate Don so much. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for letting me be here with you and be a part of your summer series. And it's very exciting for me to be back. It's as a place that I enjoy coming to, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people that I love and appreciate here. And, of course, Don has been a good friend for a long time, not only to me but to my wife's family, and he means a lot to them as well. And so just so thankful that I can be here and be with you. If you've not noticed, our world is changing in so many different ways, and maybe even more so in the last several weeks. We've noticed a lot of different changes, but we continue to see most of those changes through the eyes of social media. Social media is something that continues to be blossoming and growing, and we continue to see a lot of things and a lot of different ones that are popping up, probably some that are not even on the board right now behind me, that we see all sorts of interaction there. We call it social media, and sometimes I think it's become non-social media because we spend so much time on it. I don't know if you guys have noticed in your own families, but even in my family, I have the 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and my 2-year-old knows how to operate a phone. She knows how to operate a iPod that her brothers and sisters have. She knows especially how to operate the camera. She'll walk around and going, and I mean, and we have to tell her, you know, you use that up. She doesn't understand it, but we have to take it away from her because she'll take 1,000 pictures. But she's figured out what those icons are. It doesn't take long before we really determine and figure out. But, you know, when we were kids, and some of you may remember some of what I'm going to talk about. If you were at CYC a couple of years ago, I did something very similar, talked about this. But, you know, for me, when I was posting pictures to a wall, used to, it would look something more, I'm going to make sure this, there we go, it would look something like this. And you guys probably posted, my grandmother and my wife's grandmother has pictures all over the wall. That's how we posted pictures to a wall, but that's not what they do today. Now it's all over Facebook. If you go on vacation, everybody knows because of the pictures that you've put on your wall, because of the Instagram, whatever else it may be that you have. We would share stories with friends by actually talking to them. Now, if you sit at a table, I'm sure that you've sat across from someone who looked something like this with a phone in front of them. You can't go to a restaurant. I think it was just a couple of months ago that Chick-fil-A began offering a dessert, I believe it was, if you could sit through a meal without pulling your cell phone out. That's kind of sad, isn't it? That we can't even sit and eat with each other without pulling our cell phones out. And so if you liked something, if you were, I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to point it. Do I point it back there? Here? Up there? Okay. If you wanted to send an instant message, you handed a note to somebody. If you wanted to like something, you gave them a thumbs up. You didn't have to actually put it on a computer screen. But those are the kind of things that we sometimes take for granted now, the things that we've forgotten, the things that maybe we don't do as much because we're doing so much on social media. You know, and it's become easy to say things. It's become easy to say things that maybe we wouldn't say to people face to face. There's one person who termed this online disinhibition effect. When I can say things to you because you're not right in front of me, it doesn't feel as real. It doesn't feel like it's going to hurt as much someone else. Or maybe we just don't think about it. And so we just say whatever we want to say. And unfortunately, we probably wouldn't say that in front of them because we might get hit or something might happen to us. You know, if you have a car or a house or anything else, then you've probably got a filter with it. And I'm still not getting that to go. There it goes. You have a filter, maybe a coffee filter, something in your house that filters out the things. I want us to think, and this is something that you might have heard before, but I hope not, something that a few years ago I was thinking about this topic, and that's the one thing that was difficult for me is it seems like so many people don't have a filter anymore. Maybe you don't have a filter when you talk to people face-to-face, but it seems like especially online you don't have a filter, that we don't have a filter. Maybe it's this disinhibition effect that happens. Have you ever written something or typed something or written a letter and you decided not to send it? Anybody ever done that? Okay, many times we do that. Why is that? Well, because we have a filter. We look at it and we say, hey, that doesn't look right. That doesn't feel right. That's going to say something that I'm not intending to say. And so we delete it or we get rid of it in some way. We burn the letter, whatever it was. But we decided that was not the best option. Well, what I want you to do tonight is I want you to imagine that you have a filter, a spiritual filter that determines whether or not you're going to share something, whether or not you're going to help post something, tweet something, put something on Instagram, whatever it may be. It may be a picture. It may be a statement. But I want you to run it through the filter. And we're going to use the word filter to figure out what that is. And so let's start to begin with what is this question. Does it reveal my faith? Is this something that reveals my faith in God, my faith in Jesus Christ, and the way that I call on Him? If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul simply says this to our brother Timothy. He says to not let anyone look down upon you because of your youth, but rather in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity, show yourselves an example of those who believe. Now, Paul didn't have the scripture, Paul didn't have a social media, but he interacted with people through letters. He interacted with people face to face. And so everything that they were doing, he says, hey, this is what you do. This is the way that you show yourself an example in love, in purity, in faith. All of those things in the way that you act with the people around you. You're called to be an influence. As Christians, we're called to be an influence for the good. We're called to be an influence for the right. Before you post something, before you do something online, think about, does this reveal my faith? Well, maybe if you don't do anything online, and I'm assuming there's probably some people in this audience who don't get on social media, you ask yourself that about your everyday life too. It works the same way. Does what I'm wearing in a picture or in person, does what I'm saying about something, the way I'm acting, the way that I'm treating others, does this reveal that I have a faith in God? Does it tell the people around me that I belong to Him? I want you to look at a passage in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Colossae. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and that's probably most of you here who've been raised up with Him, living for Him, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And notice this verse, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that phrase. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I've often said, anybody seen an Alexander Shinora sign anytime soon? I mean, they're everywhere, aren't they? But, you know, I think about the Christian life as I'm a billboard for Jesus. I'm an advertisement for Him. Everything I do, people are watching and they go, hey, that guy's a Christian. And so therefore they make assumptions about faith. They make assumptions about Christianity. And so when we look at ourselves, when we see things or when other people see us, do they see us advertising Him? For you have died. It's not about you anymore. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. Is what I'm posting, is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing, is it revealing my faith? Second of all, is the I. Could it initiate sin in another person's life? You ever thought about that? Could the things that I'm saying, could the things that I'm doing, could the things that I'm posting or tweeting or whatever it is, could this initiate, could it ignite sin in someone else's life? If you go with me to Matthew chapter 18, we see Jesus talking about this very subject. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now that sounds awful to us. I don't want to imagine what it would be like to be drowned in the depths of the sea. But for the first century folks who were living during that time, the great unknown, the most disturbing thing to them was the sea. You know, when he's describing Revelation, in Revelation, he's describing heaven, and he says, and there was no more sea. Whew. That they were good with that. We don't have to worry about this unknown depth that we know. You know, we can take cameras down there and look at things. They don't know what's down there. There's no more sea. He says, it would be better for you just to be thrown into your biggest fear than for you to lead someone astray. Don't ignite sin in someone else's life. Woe to the world, verse 7 says, because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. And then he goes on to say, if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter into life crippled or lame than to have two hands and two feet and be cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into fiery hell. And that's a difficult statement for us because we start thinking about manipulating self, and that's not something that, as a counselor, we encourage. But I do encourage us to take big steps. If we're talking about, I've told a lot of people who are struggling with pornography, and I know that's not our topic tonight, or who's struggling with things that they can get to on their phone, or even with the things they're saying to people on social media. I've said, you know what? It would be better for you to go through this life without a cell phone than to miss out on eternal life. It'd be better for you to not have your computer to send emails than for you to enter into the next life and be lost. Let's consider what the most important things are. He says, look, don't cause other people to stumble, but at the same time, make sure that you're making good decisions about your own life. Make sure that you're making good decisions about your own spiritual life at the same time. What am I doing to encourage or discourage people from living the life that Christ wants them to live? Do nothing, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. That's the mind that Jesus Christ had. And that's the mind that he encourages us to have. In a discussion in Romans chapter 14 about meat, you know, Paul says, why are we making such a big deal about meat? If meat is going to cause my brother to stumble, I'm not going to eat meat again. I'm not going to make that an issue. If my posts, my things that I say, the things that I do in life, if they're going to negatively impact, you know, there's a big discussion a few years ago about whether it's my responsibility to look out for someone else's soul or it's their responsibility to look away, usually when we talk about modesty. Listen, if I think what I'm going to do is going to cause someone to stumble, I'm not going to do it. That's the choice that I make, not because I feel like I've got a right to do it, but it's because I'm worried about your soul too. I make decisions not just based on my own personal interest. Young people, you have to make decisions based on others as well. What is this going to do to them? How is this going to bring them down? How is this going to impact someone else? Are my likes and laughs and comments worth someone else's soul? Could this ignite sin in someone else's life? The third thing is it light in a world of darkness? You know, we really do live in a time where there's a lot of evil that can be found, a lot of evil that can be uncovered on the internet, a lot of evil that's found all throughout the world. And apparently it's always been that way. I want you to look at a few verses. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew says, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them the light has dawned. This idea that the people were sitting in darkness, but upon them the light shined. Now, he's quoting a prophecy, but obviously about what Jesus is bringing into the world. John said of Jesus in John 1 and verse 5, that the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it or comprehend it. The idea is that Jesus shined into the world, and either the darkness couldn't overcome him, which is true, or the darkness couldn't comprehend him. The world didn't really understand all about Jesus that they should have, and that would also be true based on his ministry. The darkness did not overcome him. This is the verdict, John 3, verse 19. Light has come into the world. But notice this. But people loved the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. You know, as I think about that verse and in relation to our world in the last couple of weeks, I really do believe that the world loves the darkness. I believe that the world loves pointing out the darkness in people. Because when I look at the world and I look at my friends and I look at the neighborhood I live in and I look at this area, I don't see a lot of the darkness that the media keeps talking about. I think that they love it. I think that they love to stir up hate. I think that they love to stir up this idea that, we hate one another and all sort. And I don't see that in the relationships I have. Now, I know that there are bad people. I know that there are some people in all different walks that aren't doing the right things. Well, let's stop stirring up the hate and let's start talking about the light. Let's start spreading the light in the church. Let's start spreading the light on social media and other places. Look at what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says. Paul says, so that you will, and this is why, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. I love to go out and bow fish. Some of you might be familiar with that, but it's going out at night, shining a light into the water and shooting at fish. That might not sound fun to you, but it is to me. And one of the things I love about it is being out at night. We get into a slough and there's no other lights anywhere around, and we turn off the generator and to refuel, and all you can see are the stars in the sky. Dark sky, stars shining through. If Christians live the way that they're supposed to live, we appear as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Teenagers, even if you are the only Christian in your class, you appear as lights in the world. People take note. People see it. And people glorify God. Isn't that what Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father in heaven. Look at what the next verse, or the verse before Philippians 2:15 says. Look at what verse 14 says. Because in that verse, what he's actually talking about, he says, do all things without grumbling and disputing so that you appear as lights. You know, I think one of the things that hurts our appearance, hurts our ability to reach others as Christians, is the fact that so many times we're grumbling and disputing. I'm not going to say I don't ever complain on Facebook, or that I don't ever complain on Twitter or on Instagram or on something else, but I try not for that to be the thing that people always know. There are some people that I'm friends with on social media who I can always guarantee if they've posted it's something negative. And what does that do for you? What does that do for the world who goes, hey, that's a Christian and all their world is negative. Hey, that's a Christian and all they're doing is thinking about bad things. Does that bring light into the world? Or does it bring more darkness? Let's think about what we show people when all we do is complain, when all we do is gripe. Let's talk about the positive things. Let's appear as lights in the world, not putting on a show, but simply saying, hey, look, this is what life can be like when you live for Jesus Christ. Here's the next thing. Is it true? And I would add to this, if you want to keep the tea together, is it tasteful? Sometimes it may be true, but it might not be tasteful. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, you know it, but speaking the truth in love. It's good to speak the truth. Let's be truthful. But as we're being truthful, let's be tasteful. Let's think about, is this the right way to say it? Is this the best way to say it? You know, one of the Ten Commandments is do not bear false, what? Witness. Let's not bring up or make up things. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 19 through 6, or 16 through 19, he talks about, here's six things that the Lord hates, here's seven that are an absolute abomination to him. And of those, here's four of them: a lying tongue, wicked schemes, false witness, stirring up conflict. And some versions say in the family, some say in the community. The idea that God does not like at all us to stir up things that are not true. You know, there's so many today, I don't even know what's true many times. There's so many satire things on the internet. that you read and you go, I can't believe that's true. And you realize that wasn't true after you study it for a little while. But people share it as if it is. And it goes all over the place. And then people have to start gathering back in all the lies that they tell. Hey, I'm sorry, that wasn't an accurate site. Be careful what you post. Not everything that's on the internet is true, right? You probably tell people that all the time, so believe it. I'm not going to say I'm not guilty. I've shared things that later on I've found out weren't true. And my son reminds me, if I go, look, son, this is what this is. Look, I can show you on the internet. He'll go, hey, but not everything on the internet's true. Thank you. I appreciate that. But many times there are some true things on there, but we certainly need to know, is this truthful? Is this something that I need to share? Is this something that's tasteful? Is this going to further the kingdom? Or is this going to make my ability to speak to people and encourage people a little less powerful because of the things that I share and because of the things I say? Here's the next one. Is it encouraging? Not everything has to always be encouraging, but certainly we want to be people who encourage. Look at what Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says. But encourage one another day after day, while it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Are you encouraging people? You know, on the flip side of all the things that we've been talking about, does it reveal my faith? Is it truthful? Is it tasteful? Is it show my light? Could it ignite someone's sin? All those are kind of like going against the negative parts. You know, we don't want to be negative on the internet. Well, what about being encouraging? What about being positive? What about using anything at our disposal to be better Christians? You know, Paul used other people. He trained people. He used letters. When he wrote these letters to Christians, the thing that I always love about the letters that we find in the Bible is that many times they start with an encouraging word. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3 is one of my favorites. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Man, I'm joyous when I think about you guys. I'm encouraged when I think about your faith. And 1 Thessalonians, he writes to them in the first chapter and he tells them that I didn't even have to say anything because the word sounded forth from you. He was encouraging them. He was building them up. Now, later in the letter, he'd go, but let me tell you, here's some things you need to work on. But he would always encourage them before he went somewhere else. Are we that kind of encouragers? Are we like Barnabas who build people up all the time? Notice what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, which means building up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. The word unwholesome means rotten or worthless. If you look at the story in Matthew 13 verse 48, it says they tossed out the bad fish. It's the same Greek word. The word that means rotten, unwholesome, not good for you, worthless. Don't let any of those things come out of your mouth. You know, now we have to talk about social media, or we have to talk about other things that we do. You say, well, I didn't say it. I just shared it. I didn't say it. I just typed it. I didn't actually let it come out of my mouth. We know the difference, don't we? It means the same today. And if he were writing to us today, he would say, don't type anything worthless. Don't share anything worthless. Don't let worthless stuff come from you in any way. But instead, edification, encouraging, strengthening, building, let that be what comes out of your mouth. Let that be what's shared by you. According, notice this, to the need of the moment. That means you got to pay attention to people. You know, there's times when people who aren't Christians, I've often said this when I was working in youth work, I told people this all the time. You can't expect unchurched or unchristian, non-Christian people to act like Christians. So if you're friends with people on Facebook and they post things, I don't think the appropriate thing to do is to start preaching at them. I think the appropriate thing to do in that situation is say, hey, what's going on in your life? Maybe a private message, not on Facebook itself or not on those others. Maybe text them or call them. Hey, what's going on? I notice you're pretty frustrated about this. What's the need of the moment? Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says to Titus, our people must learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. That's what the church is about, meeting the pressing needs of people. Teenagers, meet the pressing need of the people within the church here, but also people at school. Paul said to the Galatians, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We're supposed to help all people, but we've got to pay attention to them to know what is it that I can share with them? What is it that I can say to them to build them up and to encourage them? Here's the last thing. Will I regret it? We round out the idea of filter with, will I regret this? Things that you share have the potential of staying forever. You've probably heard the old story of the person who asked about, how do I get back all the things that I've said? I said something that's gone all over the place, and how do I get that back? How can I somehow fix this? And the old wise man took a bucket of feathers and he threw it up in the air, and the wind caught it and blew them all over the place and on the farm and out into the woods, and they were everywhere. And he said, if you'll go gather up every one of those feathers, that's about what it's like of gathering up your words. That was written, that was told a long time before the internet and social media existed. Now the things that you share can potentially be there forever. That's a good old person way of putting that, but I guess I know you've probably heard that from your family, but it's true. The things that you put can't be taken back. The words that you say, it's hard to delete that from the minds of people, and sometimes it's hard to just get it off the internet, period. Because as soon as somebody takes a snapshot of it with their phone, or somebody decides they want to keep that somehow, it's there, and it's always there. And that's the scary thing about it. Will I regret it? Would I want my parents to see this? Would I want my grandparents to see this? Would I want my kids to one day see this? Would I want God to see this? Well, there's a problem there. God already has seen it. And probably a lot of other people have seen it as well. Let's lay that aside for just a moment and think a little bit more about what would this be like even in our world today. You know, when we think about the people who hire and fire in businesses, there's some website I found several years ago that talks about these things, and that many people hire and fire based on it. They ask them, how many of you have ever rejected a candidate because of it? And 69% said, hey, we have. And why? Well, there's a whole list of reasons why we did. Now, you may say, well, that's wrong. They shouldn't be able to do that. Well, they do. They can go to Facebook or Twitter. They can go to Instagram. And if your stuff's public, they can see it. And they go, hey, we're not going to hire you based on the fact that you posted inappropriate photos or you were sharing information that was supposed to not be shared online or with anybody else. They say, well, have you ever hired somebody because of what you saw on Facebook? Yes, we have. We've hired people for the same reasons, because we saw their character. We saw the encouragement. We saw the things that they did right. We saw the things that were encouraging and lifting up other people. And so many people have made those decisions. So even if you say, well, you know, I don't care if my mom and dad know about it. I don't care if my kids know about it. I don't care if anyone else knows about it. The fact is that it could cost you a job. It could cost you friendships. It could cost you in a lot of different ways that maybe sometimes we don't think about. We have a lot of influence in the world. Christians have the potential of having a lot of influence for the good. Barnabas, I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful that Barnabas, when Paul and others were struggling, Barnabas believed in them. You know, when the Christians wouldn't believe in Paul when he first became one, they looked at him and said, no, he's not for us. He's going to hold us back, or he's going to kill us. Something's going to happen if we let him into our fold. And Barnabas says, look, He's believed in Jesus. He's a part of the team now. And he believed in him. And even one day, many years down the road in Acts chapter 15, I believe it is, that Paul and Barnabas even have a falling out because Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. He's an encourager. He's someone who believes in others. That goes well on a resume. He encouraged. He did the right things. And he lifted people up at the right moment. And so he takes John Mark. Later on in Paul's life, John Mark had become important to Paul as well. We need to think about, will I regret the things that I've posted? Will I regret the way that I've acted, the things that I've worn, the things that I've said? And so this goes not just with social media. It goes with all of our life. As Christian, we have the opportunity to impact people for the good. You know, and we may be frightened to think about it, but we also have to think about, you know, there are things that we have in our past that we can regret or that we do regret. And we wish we'd never went there. We wish we had never done that. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But for today, I want us, for tonight, I hope that it's been helpful to you in one way. Do the things that I post, do they reveal my faith? Do they, or could they, ignite sin in someone else's life? Is it a light in the world of darkness? Is it truthful? Is it tasteful? Is it something that I'm going to encourage people with? Or is it something that I'm going to regret? If you run your life, if you run your postings, if you run anything that you do through that filter, you may find that you don't post as many things. You might find that you stop before you do some things that you ultimately would regret. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And hopefully that's been encouraging to you. And if you would, let's bow in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you for this day and the blessings you've given to us all. Thank you for another day to live. Father, for another day to be around your word, to be able to be encouraged by your word, and this opportunity to be together with one another. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for their leadership. I pray for this family as they work together and they strive to encourage one another. And Father, as they encourage the community around them. Thank you so much for what it means to so many. And Father, I pray that as we think about your word and we compare our life to it, that Father, we are doing the things that you've called us to do. And Father, that we will consider the impact that our actions and the things that we do will have on the world around us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.